the chapter dealing with the transforming truths, your flesh funeral, which is lesson number four. And so let's go to Romans 7 and 22. This was the verse that I had you to memorize. And I had you memorize this one for a reason, because he's talking about delighting in the law of God after the inward man. We've got to have that mentality. We've got to have the mentality saying, I really want to delight in the law of God. I really want to. That's what I want to do. I may not be always successful at it, amen, but I really want to do this, amen. So let's go ahead and read that verse. We'll say the reference, then read the verse, the reference. Here we go. Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Romans 7:22. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as a class. Lord, we are looking at our flesh's funeral. We want to make sure that the things that we do glorify you. And we know we can't do that if the flesh is fully alive in us and the nature that is contrary to God. So Lord, work in our minds and our hearts. Help us to glean a blessing from your word today. We may be a little bit more Christ-like when we leave. We might leave here differently than we came in, more on fire for thee, Lord, and more conscious of the reason for the season, which is Jesus. Thank you for loving us now. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Romans 7:22 was our verse. And let's get you caught up here for those that have not been here for a while. Your flesh's funeral is the topic that we're discussing right now. And I will fill in the blanks for you. The Roman numeral one is, it is a personal funeral. Your flesh is funeral. It's a personal funeral. So you must personally put your flesh to death. Amen. And then A was, Christ's death for you is your salvation. Christ's death for you is your salvation. Without Christ's death, you have no salvation. Amen. He had to die. He had to be buried. He had to rise again the third day. But then B, your death with Christ is your sanctification. Your death with Christ is your sanctification. The more you put the flesh in his grave and keep him there, the more separated from sin you can become. Then Roman numeral two, it is a painful funeral. It is a painful funeral. Your flesh does not want to die. Try holding your breath and see how long you get. Who was our winner holding their breath? Was it Bev? Carl? Natasha? It was Fred? Fred's a swimmer. That's why. He cheat. Amen. Who was after Fred? Anybody? Carl, didn't you hold your breath a long time? Not long. Ben's like, no, he didn't. Not at all. Amen. And the point was this. Your flesh wants to breathe. And so if you hold your breath long enough, your body's going to say, buddy, if you don't, I'm going to turn blue if you don't. Amen. I don't know what color I'll turn, but I'll turn. Amen. Black and blue if I fall. Amen. So it's a painful funeral. Your flesh doesn't want to die. And then you had Roman numeral. Oh, you didn't have a Roman numeral. No A and no B on that one. Amen. But we did discuss this. Our flesh wants to live. Then we talked about this. Our flesh wants to lead. And then we discussed this. Our flesh needs to leave. Amen. And so now we're on Roman numeral three. It is a powerful funeral. It's a powerful funeral. But let me read to you a devotion that was in the Days of Praise on November 13th. Some of you probably read this as well. The title just simply says mortified. What does mortified mean? Die. What do we call the people in that dress up the bodies and all that? Mortician. Where do the dead bodies go? To the mortuary. Amen. It goes to the mortuary or the morgue. Amen. All words dealing with dying or death. Mortician, mortuary, all those things. Amen. And so mortified means dead. Amen. And they list Romans 8:13. It says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do, notice this, mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Goes on to say this, to mortify something means to put it to death. Paul taught in our text and in other passages that the deeds of the body or its fleshly actions and appetites, all that pertain to the old man, should be mortified or put to death. What's wrong with the old man?
He's evil.
He's what, Dimitri? He's wicked. Amen. What else about the old man? Sinful. Does anybody possess a good man in the old man?
No.
No. The old man is the old man. He's a bad man. Whether he's in a woman or a man, he's bad. Amen. And it's the nature of the person. Your nature, apart from God, wants to do what it wants to do. Amen. And so he says, it's got to be put to death. This mortification is, first of all, judicial. It says, Christ having been put to death in our stead, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, Romans 6:6. But the mortification must not stop there, says not just judicial, with only a positional death. It must also be an actual mortification in practice. For they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:24-25. For as ye have yielded your members service to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness, Romans 6:19. Elsewhere, Paul identifies specific needs and attitudes that must be mortified. What are these deeds and attitudes? Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Notice the listing. Fornication, uncleanness. Uncleanness means an impure mind, impure thoughts. Inordinate affection. That just means desires that are out of control, wanting that which is not good for me morally. Evil concupiscence, or evil desires that we have. By the way, people kill other people because they have evil concupiscence. That's how it is, amen. Concupiscence. Look it up in your Bible. It's Colossians 3:5, amen. Evil desires is what it is. Covetousness, we want what somebody else has, amen. He says the first four listed would be recognized as various forms of sensual sins. That's the fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. And then indicating how detrimental this category of sin is to the spiritual life. He says the fifth, which is covetousness or inordinate love of money and material things. These five comprise deadly sins to men and women of any historical age, particularly our own. If they are not put to death, they bring death, for which things shakes the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The choice is clear. It will be either death to the flesh or death to the spirit. Amen. Only one can exist. So just looking at that, is there anything good in the old man? No.
No, there's not.
No. He wants to do all those things. And so we have to put him in his grave. Amen. So you should wake up every morning and have a funeral.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Your own personal funeral. You look in the mirror and you put yourself in the grave. You look in the mirror, look at yourself and say, you're a dead man or you're a dead woman. Okay, that's what you got to do. You got to physically say, you're not in control today. Jesus is. You're not in control today. The Spirit of God is in control today. You're not in control today. The Word of God is controlling my life. You're a dead person. And that starts your day off. You're already practically doing it when you say that. Now, what is the benefit of saying that verbally out loud to yourself? No, God's in control. Yes. Help purpose it in your heart. Reinforce it. If you verbally say it, it can reinforce what you already know you ought to do. What normally gets us in trouble is that we don't rehearse that we should be dead. And so we wake up fully alive and fully awake. Amen. And the first thing before you leave the house, if the kids don't get you frustrated, the husband will. If the husband doesn't, the wife will. If that doesn't, the dog or the cat will. If that doesn't, the neighbors will. If that doesn't, something that's not done will. Amen. Something, if you don't get, look in that mirror and say, you're dead today, I'm not going to fall for it. I'm not. Don't you even try. No tricks. You're dead. Don't try no Houdini on me. You're dead. If you don't say that to yourself, you're going to wake up and you're going to be fully alive and fully awake in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
And that's not good. Amen. All right. So going back to this, Roman numeral 3, it is a powerful funeral. Powerful funeral. One, it's a personal funeral. It's a painful funeral, but it's a powerful funeral. Amen. By the way, funerals are hard services to attend anyway because of sorrow that accompanies them. But your funeral's flesh is going to be one that you really want to attend. Amen. And it's going to be the most powerful and life-changing funerals that exist. Powerful. Why? Because A, you are alive.
Yes, sir.
You are alive. Amen. Roman numeral 8. Number 8. You are alive. So it's a powerful funeral. Why? You're alive. So imagine going to the funeral and the person in the casket pops up and says, hey, hi, y'all. I'm back from the dead. How many of y'all would stay in the funeral parlor? I don't know about you. I'd probably be getting out real quick. I've seen too many horror stories in my life to know that that's not a good thing. Amen. If Jesus not raising them, amen, I don't want to see them. Amen. And so if they were to come back alive, you would think, man, what happened here? Uh-huh. How many of y'all saw the Super Bowl commercial? The guy faked his funeral and he was in the casket eating Doritos. And watching the football game, watching the Super Bowl. Y'all didn't see that one? Tasha's the only one that saw it, amen. It was actually hilarious because he was going for the team, and I mean, he was in the casket, and everybody, and he's in their gold team, and the casket starts shaking in front of everybody. Everybody started looking, and the casket fell open. All these Doritos fall all over the place, and he kind of looking at them like, oh, I'm busted, amen. Faking his funeral, amen. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a real funeral here, amen. Real putting the flesh to death, amen. It's powerful. Why? Because you are alive. Notice Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Again, this is real business. We have got to put the flesh in the grave daily, moment by moment, anytime he rears his ugly head. By the way, let me ask you this question, and I know y'all know the answer already. Can anybody make you get in the flesh? No. No more than anybody can force you to lie. No more than anybody can force you to sin. But what do we say? Like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make you sin. You have a free will. You are a free agent. Amen. You don't have to sin. And you don't have to be in the flesh. That's a choice you make. So when you say, well, they got me in the flesh because they didn't pick up that stuff off the floor. No. You allowed yourself to go there. You said, self, come back. Then the old man comes back and says, I ain't putting up with it. When he should have been in the grave.
Yes, sir.
You have allowed that to happen. Notice Galatians 2:20. I am, what's that word? Crucified with Christ. I am means that's present tense. I am right now crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, notice the paradox. I what?
Live.
Nevertheless, I live. So it sounds like a paradox, but it's a powerful funeral because we are still alive. By the way, until the old man dies, you can't live. You're living in the flesh, and that's death. The wages of sin is what? Death.
Yeah.
So if the old man is alive, then you're not living yet. But this funeral is powerful because you and I are alive. We have life by dying to ourselves, our old nature. We have new life in Christ because Christ is not going to be a part of the old nature because it's contrary to God. When the old man wants to do bad, the new man wants to do what? Good. When the old man wants to go left, the new man wants to go where? Right. Can you go left and right at the same time? Try that with your car and see how far you get. Amen. You're not going to go far. And so it's powerful because we are alive. Because of the funeral, you and I have life. If there is no funeral, we have the old man back, which is dead in sins and trespasses. And so we've got to have the new man in charge. Amen. By the way, the old man, when he's in charge, he messes everything up.
Yep.
How do fights and arguments always get started? With the old man.
Yes, sir.
How do disagreements always come up? Oftentimes with the old man.
Yes, sir.
Well, pride and contention with old man. Anger, bitterness, frustration, lust, old man.
Yep.
You never find those things in the new man. The new man is a peacemaker. What is one of the Beatitudes? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called children of God. He's a peacemaker, amen. And so let's look at Romans 6 and verse 8. Romans 6, 8. So we know this. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me there. Galatians or Romans 6, 8. Romans 6 and verse 8. By the way, how many of y'all's old mans are looking forward to a vacation for Christmas time where you can rest a little bit from job?
Amen.
The old man gets tired, but wait a minute, the new man can get tired too, amen? Not spiritually speaking, but I'm saying when we're living in the spirit, we still have to get rest to our bodies. We still have to get rest. Even though we're walking in the spirit, even Jesus, in walking in his fleshly body, got wearied. And so break times and rest times are natural and they're good. Too much rest makes you a what? Sluggard, amen. Who said sluggard, amen? Yes, exactly. Makes you a sluggard, amen. Romans 6:8. Let's look at this here. Now I'm going to accent certain words here because it's a powerful funeral because we're alive, amen. Notice Romans 6 and verse number 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also, what's that word? Live with him. So now, wait a minute. I'm dead with Christ, but wait a minute, but I'm living. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he what? Liveth, he what? Liveth unto God. And if he's living unto God, how should we live? Unto God. We should obey God, not the old man, because the old man is dead. And can dead men obey? No, dead men can't obey. So if the old man is dead, he is dead to sin. He can't sin. And if he's dead in me, then that means I'm not going to sin. So when I sin, what can I say? That the old man is alive in me. When I don't sin, the old man is dead in me. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but what? Alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that means when sin comes knocking at your door, you don't say, leave a message. When sin comes knocking at your door, you don't say, nobody's at home. When sin comes knocking at your door, you don't say, go away. When sin comes knocking at your door, what do you say? You just turn away. You're unresponsive because you go into the cemetery and dead men are unresponsive. Amen. How responsive are you when you're asleep? Some of you more than others. Some just like a dead rock. Amen. Just like, you can poke them in the eyeball and they still won't wake up. Amen. Faithy poo. I mean, I'll go in faith. I just open up the door and she's up. She is a light sleeper. I mean, my wife and myself, man, we're heavier sleepers. I mean, we even hear the burglar alarm. Yeah, hear the burglar alarm. They say, you didn't hear the burglar alarm go off the other day? I was like, nope. Glad it wasn't no burglar coming in the house. Amen. I was dead to the world. Amen. Hey, it should be the same way to sin. We should be dead to sin. We shouldn't hear it. Now, you should hear your burglar alarm. That's a good thing. Amen. Somebody try to wake you up, you should try to wake up. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But we are... dead to sin. He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Unresponsive. But what? But alive unto God. When God speaks to you and I through the word of God, we should be alive. And we should say, yes, I want to do that. For I delight in the law of God after the what? The inward man. I delight in this. The old man has no delight in this at all. Not at all. That's why sometimes you can't study. Amen. By the way, it's comforting to know that our life is not defined by the old man. Our life is defined by the new man. Amen. Our sinful life is a bad thing. Amen. But then not only is it a powerful funeral because you're alive, but then B, it is a powerful funeral because you are free. You are free. It's powerful because you're free. Because of the funeral, you and I are free. Now, what are we free to do? Free to do whatever we want, amen. Free to follow God, Ms. Dawson. Yep. Amen. Amen. Now, because we're free, because a lot of people teach this principle, because we're free, does that mean we have a license to sin? But I'm free. I can do what I want to do. Now, by the way, are you Americans?
Yes.
Then if you're American, that means you are free.
Yep.
But are you free to break the law?
Yeah. No, Pastor.
So you're not free then, are you?
No.
But are you free? Are you free? But are you free to do whatever you want to do?
No.
Seems like a contradiction, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
What am I free for? Because I'm American, I am free to live in America, and I have all the rights and the privilege to go with that, and I have the privilege to do anything I want to, but I have the consciousness to know that if I do wrong, there's a penalty involved with it. There's a consequence involved with it. We as Christians, we are free in Christ. Yes, we are. We're saved by the grace of God. I've got everlasting life. It's eternal. I can't lose it. However, I'm not free to do whatever I want to do because there is sin. The wages of sin is still death. It still has a penalty. And so although I'm free to do right, not wrong. No one has the freedom. Because if I do wrong, who am I infringing upon? Others. If I drive recklessly, who am I endangering? Others. If I go and steal and do like what happened to the Ferraris, who am I endangering? Others. By the way, the Ten Commandments, the first four, deal with your relationship with God. The next six deal with the relationship between you and man. How many is that? Starting with honor thy father and thy mother. That's number four, five. Honor thy father and thy mother. Children have to be taught in the home to respect their parents' decision. And when they respect their parents' decision, then they can respect others outside the home. Because I don't know if any parents are going to raise their child to say, I want you to go out there and just beat up everybody you know and take their money.
Oh boy.
Now, there may be a parent like that, but I don't know of any. They don't raise their children to say, I want you to grow up to be a maniac and a menace to society. That's what I want you to be. I want you to grow up to be a mass murderer and kill thousands of people. That's what I want you to be. No one raises their child like that. And so when you look at the commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, it's there for a reason, because the parents then set the framework to set that child on the path of life that comes after that. And after that, number five, comes the rest. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, and all the rest of those come after that, because the child has to learn from the parent the rest of those commandments. Amen. All right, so we're free. We're alive. Amen. But we are saved to do what's right. And by the way, before we were saved, we were slaves to the stronghold of sin. We were stuck. You and I were stuck. You couldn't do right if you wanted to. And by the way, if you did right, why did you do right? Self-gain. Because I wanted to do right. I wanted to look good into somebody's face or somebody's eyes. I wanted to look better. I wanted to do this. And so oftentimes when we even tried to consider doing right, it was so that we could benefit. It was never for the glory of God. Once we get saved, what we do that for the glory of God. Amen. So it's a powerful funeral. We're alive and then we're free. Go to Romans 6. Let's read some more here. Verse number 16, all of Romans chapter 6 is very, very good. That's why we read that for baptism. Romans 6, and pick it up at verse number 16. Notice what he says there. Know ye not that to whom ye, what's that word?
Yield
yourselves servants to obey. Now, what does the word yield mean? Give the right away. When you go up to a traffic sign or circle or something like that, and it says yield, you're giving the other driver the right of way, okay? And so it says yielding your servants to obey, whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye what? Are to whom ye obey. So if you're going to yield yourselves to sin, then that's how you're going to obey. Amen? Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto what? Righteousness. So I'm going to obey sin or I'm going to obey God. One or two. If I obey sin, it's death. If I obey righteousness, it's life. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of what? Sin. Notice past tense, ye were the servants of sin. But ye have what? Obeyed. We saw this yesterday in the men's devotion. From the what? Heart. That form of doctrine which delivered you. You obey God. Amen. You were servants of sin, but you obey God. And notice verse 18. Being then made what? Free from what? Sin. Do we have to sin? No. You and I can, we can boldly say, I don't have to sin. But when I do sin, who can I say is in control? The old man, Satan. When I do sin, it's God's got nothing to do with me sinning. He's given me the power to obey. But when I sin, I've got to come clean and say, it's my fault. I did it. Because I'm free. I don't have to sin. When you get a traffic ticket, whose fault is it? Yours. Who do you normally try to blame it on?
Brother Hall.
We blame it on everybody. Well, I'm late from my work. Well, how'd you get late from work? I overslept. Well, whose fault is that? Well, I'm late for work. What happened? Well, the kids burnt the milk.
Oh, my goodness. What incarnation?
We come up with all kinds of excuses. Yeah. Why are you late? My wife made me late. Well, what did she do? She burnt my toast. Some of the excuses we come up with. I mean, let's just be honest. When the cop pulls you over, just be honest with him. You know, officer, I did not know how fast I was going. And if you did say, officer, I knew how fast I was going, but I didn't think you were going to be around. Yeah, be honest with them. You might as well.
Yes, sir.
What good is lying going to do to you? Amen. You know how fast you're going? Yeah, I slowed down a little bit, but then I sped back up because the next driver sped up. Amen. And I thought you was going to get him and not me. Be honest with them. We sit there and try to finagle it. Well, you know, I didn't know how fast I was going. Liar, you knew how fast you were going. Who doesn't look at the speedometer when you drive? Amen. Everybody looks at the speedometer. Amen. Okay, my wife doesn't look at the speedometer when she drives. Amen. But, you know, just keep up with the traffic, amen. That's what I'm doing. Well, what I'm saying, we don't have to sin. What does that verse say, amen? Verse 18, being then made free from sin. I don't have to sin. When I drive, what should I do? Look at the sign and say, okay, it says 45. I need to go 45. And if I get a ticket for going 45, I can say, look, officer, I was not going above 45. You must have clocked the guy next to me or something like that. And if he still wants to give you a ticket, that's the time you go to court and you fight it. Amen. You go to court and say, I'm going to fight this thing. I was not speeding. Amen. All right. By the way, most of the time the cops don't show up anyway, so you'll get off. Word to the wise there. Amen. Ever happened to you, Pastor? No. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. So if I'm not obeying sin, I can obey God. Amen. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Amen. I'm going to read something in the book here. It says, we mentioned earlier that when we die to ourselves, our flesh will try to convince us that we can't function without our old nature. How many of you, when you drop sin, your flesh told you that you need that sin? I know about me. When I stopped alcohol, my body said, you need alcohol. You're going to start shaking.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to feel bad. And I did. And my body kept saying, you better get something to drink. You better get something to drink. You having the DTs. Better get something to drink.
Yikes.
And I had to say no. No.
Oh,
hey, when you stop drugs, your body's going to tell you, I'm chemically dependent upon that drug. You better give it to me. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to make you sick. I remember when I had my first back surgery, and they had put me on that Percocet and Vicodin and that Valium stuff. And, man, I was taking that stuff, and I said, man, I don't need this stuff anymore. And I stopped taking it just like that. Man, did I get sick. Man, I felt bad all over. I thought everything in me said, well, you know, go ahead and start taking it again. I said, but I don't want that stuff. What happened? Physically, my body told me, I'm chemically dependent. I have altered I've altered things internally to make adjustments for that. Now that you've taken that out, something's missing here. That's what happens when you drink alcohol. That's what happens when you do cigarettes. That's what happens when you do drugs. Your body makes an adjustment for that poison that's in there. And when that poison is taken out, it's saying, hey, we got to reroute things. And you don't feel so good right away. Now, you see, I'm still standing here, so I live. Amen. I cut that stuff off. I said, I'm not taking this junk anymore. I quit my alcohol just like that.
Yeah.
Boom. I said, I'm not doing it. Did I feel bad? I felt horrible. I felt miserable. I spent a couple days in the bed, amen, when I stopped that some of that stuff. Amen. Why? I thought, oh, man, I feel bad. Hey, but although our flesh tries to convince us that we can't function without our old nature, through this powerful funeral, we can become victorious over that nature. We're no longer servants of sin. We have been freed from that bondage, and we are now free to follow Christ and do as Christ would have us to do. By the way, you're alive and you're free. That is a miracle because we get the power from God. We get the power from God. Let me read you an illustration that they give comparing the Red Sea crossing and the Jordan crossing. By the way, which one do we hear more of, the Red Sea crossing or the Jordan crossing? Red Sea. Were both miracles. But which one do we hear about? Red Sea. Notice what they say here. In the Old Testament, God miraculously allowed the children of Israel to cross two bodies of water on dry land, the Red Sea and the Jordan River. The Red Sea is a picture of salvation as God delivered his people from Egypt. Jordan River is a picture of sanctification as God allowed his people to enter the land of promise and victory. Notice what it says. Though many times we forget about the crossing of the Jordan, it was no less of a miracle than the first crossing at the Red Sea. Were both dried up? Did they cross over on dry land? Is that a miracle? Is one miracle any better than the other miracle? No, they're both miracles. They go on to say here, often we think of salvation as the only miracle in our Christian lives. Sanctification, it says often we think of salvation as the only miracle in our Christian lives, but the mortification of our flesh and life through Christ is equally powerful. Why do you think when you got saved and your life transformed, people looked at you and said, something changed. How'd you do that? Because it was a miracle. You got saved and God started separating you by his miraculous power through the grace of God and your sanctification. Although it went in spurts and although it went in intervals, it was no less a miracle than your salvation because the power of God enabled you. Hey, folks, I stopped drinking by the power of God. I stopped drugs by the power of God. I stopped the things that God had me not do by his power and his grace. I tried many times before that, but guess what? I always went back to it. Now, by the way, can I go back to all of it? In a snap of the finger, I can go back to all of it. In a snap of a finger. Amen. And so when you look at that, you got to recognize that it is the power of God. And we're not going to be able to get into this next one, but I want to touch upon it just quickly here. Roman numeral 3, it's a powerful funeral because you're alive, and because you are free. But then number 4, it's a practical funeral. And I want to give you just a thought here before we leave here. It's a practical funeral. And it's proud because, A, you die to your old lust. You die to your old lust. By the way, what do we tend to do on a diet? Huh? Pick out?
Without.
Oh, you do without. Amen. You do without. Amen. What else do we do on a diet? Cheat?
Cheat, there you go.
I hope not. Amen. Natasha. Healthier things, amen. What else do we do on the diet? Brother Daniel's busted us all out. We cheat, amen. Go in the refrigerator at night like Fred Flintstone, amen. Yes?
You watch your intake of how much you eat.
Watch your intake of how much you eat. What else do we tend to do on the diet? Change way of thinking, amen. Or change the way you do certain things, amen. Why do I ask that? Because when you look at number A, you die to your old lust. What does your old man want? Your own lust. That's what he wants. So just like a diet, what do I have to do to him? Huh? Die to it, yes. Train him. What else? Starve him dead, amen. Put him on a diet. The things that he wants. If I give the old man what he wants, if I'm on a diet and I eat what I want, what's going to happen to me? I'm not going to lose weight. On the contrary, what am I going to do? I'm going to gain. And so if I feed the old man, what's going to happen? I'm going to have more sin. What does the old man want? Sin. And the more sin the old man gets, the more he's going to want, and he's going to become more sinful. Amen. And so you got a big fat sinner. That didn't sound good. Y'all know what I'm talking about, amen. Why? Because I fed the old man. I fed him with. Now, what can I feed the old man? How is he going to eat? Yeah, but I'm feeding him sin. But where does this sin come from? The world. Let's quantify this. He's got it. Movies. What I watch, that's going to feed him. Y'all watch commercials when you're hungry. You see food. What happens? I mean, right after you eat, if you see a McDonald's commercial, you're like, oh, a Burger King. Oh. I mean, after you ate your turkey and Thanksgiving, you're like, man, food. I want to see food. But when you're hungry, you're like, man, two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, Big Mac, yeah. Whopper, two big patties and the pickles. You get hungry. So what you feed the old man by way of the media, the music. And by the way, music does send signals to you. Your movies you watch, the music you listen to, the magazines you thumb through, the media you look at online. Now, men, you guys are being targeted. We're being targeted with all sorts of pornography out there. They will target you on purpose. On purpose. I have folks sending stuff through the church website, pornography.
Whoa.
Saying, get on this link. I'm like, this is a church link.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
What lows will you stoop to next?
That's right, Pastor.
Getting your children involved in it.
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying. The old man has got to be put on a diet. You have to die to your old lust. And so we're going to use that verse as a memory verse there, 1 John 2:16, and then we'll pick up here next time. 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16 is going to be our 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, of the lust of the flesh, and lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We've got to die to our old lust. We've got to put, like a diet, don't feed your flesh. If you feed your flesh, he will get strong. What do we tend to do on a diet? We put things out of reach, out of sight that we know aren't good for our diet. We've got to put things out of reach and out of sight that are not good for the old man. Why? If the more he gets, the stronger he's going to get. But on the contrary, when I take away that which is not good, what do I need to do? Because my natural inclination is to replace it with something else.
Yeah.
I put away soda, and normally I'll drink Kool-Aid.
Yes.
Well, both of them have a bunch of sugar.
Yes, sir.
I got to take away Kool-Aid and take away the soda and replace it with water or a healthy drink. So if I'm going to die to my old lust, then I've got to separate from sin. I've got to put it away from me. I've got to make sure that it's out of sight. My movies, my music, my magazines, my media, money, all that. I've got to watch all that. Amen. So 1 John 2:16 is going to be our memory verse for next time. Brother Neil's got Sunday school next week, so you guys got a couple extra weeks to work on that. And like dieting, stay away from sin. The old man does want to sin. But when you wake up in the morning, say you're a dead man, you're a dead woman, that brings the awareness to your mind and your heart that you are dead to sin. So memory verse, 1 John 2:16, I'm sorry. Yes, basically. So we'll have it next year. So you got 3 weeks to work on this, basically. Amen. We won't have Sunday school again until, what is it, the 6th? No, not the 6th. Later. Amen. All right, so in the new year, amen. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. We've got refreshments next door, and what a blessing. Father, thank you once again that we can look at this old man, and Lord, this is a powerful funeral. We're still alive in Christ, and we're free to do right. And so, Lord, we thank you that we have that power through the Spirit of God. Lord, it's so practical. We've got to die to our old man and his lust. We've got to make sure that we don't feed that old man, because he will come back and he will want to do what he did before. So help us, Lord, to guard our minds, guard our hearts, and to constantly have the old man crucified, Lord. And we know he wants to live, but we've got to let the Spirit of God live in us and help us to choose wisely. No one can make us sin. We're free from sin. Lord, we've got to obey righteousness. Help us today as we go forth in boldness and in confidence of the Spirit of God, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, to do that which is right. and blessed refreshments next door. Thank you for those that prepared them and bought them. Lord, help us to enjoy our time of fellowship before we meet up again for the next session. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.